numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, so much more than a producer, in the hizzy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing great. It's just was it with temperature on the car yesterday? It was 117.
Oh, balmy. Mine broke.
Yours broke? That's what Randy told me downstairs, that yours broke.
Yeah. I love that Randy told you.
I was running on your car.
What was it? Monday was the errand day for me and you, where we were running all around, and like I was parked outside for like a couple hours. I got back in the car and I'm driving around and I'm like, yeah, my thermometer's saying 70 degrees, and it's not changing, and I don't think that's the case right now, because it's definitely like 115.
Maybe 170.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Not 70. So that is, it's the dog days of summer here in Las Vegas. But we got a show for you, filled with guests, filled with actionable betting information. JVT coming up momentarily, talk all things basketball and baseball with us, all his plays. Will Hill with his, Chris Felica. With his, Will Hill and Chris Felica, two Yankees fans back-to-back. I'm sure I'm not going to hear about any comments I made yesterday. That's coming up. Jason Weingarten as well with all his bets. I will go, I made a Cy Young bet. I made my first Cy Young bet of the year, and we will discuss that, and we will do it in a way that is, that we've done on this show here on A Numbers Game annually, doing it very systematically based on a tried-and-true formula. And so sort of in the theme of what we were talking about with Cleve earlier this week in the NFL, like, all right, here are my tried and true NCAA championship formula. Here's my tried and true Cy Young thing that we do. We never really talk about in the NFL, which we will again momentarily, about some of Cleve stuff, Cleve TA, his football preview guide, that some of his parameters on certain awards. But that's what we're going to do with the Cy Young coming up later on the show. And I have made a bet, and perhaps it will trigger one for you. Also on the show, this can't be right. This can't be right, Kelly. It says here on the rundown, Deanna Cologne, professional vocalist, songwriter, chef, and actress. Also the original Jardians lady. Is that true?
That's right.
What have we done?
That's right. Hour and 10 minutes.
Would you like to hear from her? Like, you know, want to do a Sunbelt preview. The former. Let's go. Let's find out from Deanna. She is she got ousted from Jardians, and I just want to find out what went down and how she's doing and what that whole ordeal was like, because I think it's a good case study for just anyone who receives hate and handles it.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to look at.
I mean, I'm interested for her specifically, quite a background with, I mean, she's done many reality TV shows, a singer, a professional singer, actress.
Well, that's my first thing I'm going to say to her. Well, I don't know why I'm whispering, because I don't think she's listening. But the first thing I'm going to say to her is, like, does it offend you that I go right to the Jardians commercial? Because she's done all these other things.
So it's partially that, or does she look at it as it was a boost to her career?
Yeah.
I mean, when you have people like us talking about it as much as we've talked about it.
So we look forward to that as well. By the way, Wimbledon update. I split bets this morning. I have only one left. I thought that Elena Svitolina would give Elena Rybakina more of a challenge this morning, but Rybakina clinically defeating Svitolina, so the over did not get there. But I did, and I'm still mad at myself for this, too. I had Barbora Krejcikova plus the games against Yelena Ostapenko. Not only did she cover the game line, she beat Yelena Ostapenko in straight sets. So I hate myself for... This is when you're running bad and your numbers tell you you should take the money line. You're like, I don't know about my numbers right now in this grass service. So you back up and you take the games. And so I hate myself even for winning that the way that we want it. The only one I have left left is on the men's side. We had a withdrawal this morning. Alex de Minaur, the Australian, who hurt himself on match point in the previous round against Artur Fields. Actually, it was a couple points before that. He said it was the last 3 points where he felt as though he had a a pain. And what ended up happening, and I think I have the exact quote somewhere.
Yeah, I like heard half of it when I was walking out this morning.
It's an abductor strain, abductor detached from the hip, something. I'll get you the exact quote.
It was I didn't catch exactly what it was, but he was talking about.
Yeah, I have it for you. Alex Demenor, have to pull out due to a hip injury, a tear of the cartilage that connects to the abductors. I felt a crack during the last 3 points, had a scan, and it confirmed it was the injury with high risk of making it worse.
Yeah.
Olympics in danger, he says as well, which is the real, I mean, on top of that, for the Australian for that to be in jeopardy is a huge thing. So anyway, the long and short of it is, the women's semis are now set. It is Elena Rybakina against Barbora Krejcikova. Those are the two remaining players with the best grass court numbers. Rybakina 1, Krejcikova 2. And then in the other one, you've got Donna Vekic against Jasmine Paolini. Okay. Donna Vekic in her first Grand Slam semi. And then on the men's side, we have Daniil Medvedev, who upset Jannik Sinner yesterday. Sinner was ill. Medvedev gets through. He will take on Carlitos. Carlitos beat Tommy Paul yesterday. So Medvedev versus Alcaraz in one. And the other one is Novak Djokovic, who has had not only Dimonor get hurt on his side of the bracket, but also Uber Urkacz get hurt on his side of the bracket. Also have Sasha Zverev get hurt in that match against Taylor Fritz the other day, hurt on his side of the bracket. Novak gets the free bonus square. He's in the semis against the winner of this match, Taylor Fritz, taking on Lorenzo Musetti here momentarily. I have the under 39. I think Fritz rolls it.
So let's go, Fritz.
We'll see.
Rooting for Fritz now.
Okay. One more thing from Cleve's preview guide. Again, VSiN NFL betting guide is out there for VSiN subscribers. Check it out. Matt Eumanns, Wes Reynolds, Adam Burke, Zach Cohen. Everybody did such a wonderful job on this. Our buddy Cleve has his own little free one that he puts out at Cleve TA just on his Twitter site. And we talked about alternate season win totals earlier and the amazing percentages that hit on those earlier in the week. We talked about Coach of the Year and the parameters he gives for Coach of the Year and who that sort of applies to this year. He landed on Kevin O'Connell. Kelly and I were talking about it, and Jim Harbaugh just makes too much sense to me, quite frankly. Well, let's talk about another thing that he talked about, which is season wins in general. Forget the alternate for a second. Season wins in general, there's always exceptions. And we talked about, let's just break it down in three groups. There's teams that have season win totals of eight or fewer. In between 8.5 and 9.5, which, by the way, ends up being like 12 teams right in the pocket there in the middle. And then teams that are 10+. So we're going to remove the 8.5 to 9.5 for the purposes of this discussion, which is 12 teams right in the middle. But there is always, and we can flash this up from Cleve, there is always at least a team or two that gets there from...
So since 2000, at least one team with a win total of 8 or less has made the playoffs. In 20 of the last 24 seasons, at least two teams have made it, okay? And then in the next one, so we're going to discuss what team do we think with a lower one could make the playoffs. And then a team with a win total of 10+ has missed the playoffs every year since 2000. So which one of the ones with 10 or more will miss the playoffs?
All right, let's start with the first group.
Yeah.
Where you said every year since 2000, at least one team with a win total of 8 or less has made it. 20 of the last 24, at least two teams have made it. Here are the teams that qualify for this year, that have season win totals of under 8, and let's try to identify the team or two teams that will get to the playoffs. Cardinals, 7, and I'll just read them off in no particular order. Actually, alphabetical order by their city or state, and then you can react. Cardinals, 7.5. You think they get there? I do not.
I don't. But I think there's a chance.
Panthers, 5.5.
No.
Broncos, 5.5.
No.
Raiders, 6.5.
No.
Now here's the one that Cleve identified the other day. Vikings, 7.5.
Probably not.
I'm not so sure either. Patriots, 4.5.
No.
Saints, 7.5.
No.
I'm with you on all your no's. Giants, 6.5.
No.
Here's the one where I think gets there. Seahawks, 7.5.
That's the one I wrote down. Seattle Seahawks.
I just think the Pete Carroll subtraction is such an addition. And I don't think, and I think Mike McDonald is going to maximize that defense. I don't think they're going to have as conservative of play calling on offense. I just think, and they were great on first and second downs mm-hmm. last year. They were great on first and second downs, as Klee points out in his preview as well. Seahawks 7.5. Bucks 7.5.
No.
I agree. Titans 6.5.
No.
I agree. Commanders 6.5.
Maybe.
That's the only other one I would give.
Maybe, but no. No. The only one I could, because this was the one where there, in the last 24 years, at least two teams have made it. I couldn't get to two. I can get to Seahawks. I couldn't get to two.
I'm with you. I get to Seahawks. Vikings and Commanders are the maybes.
Vikings, Commanders, Cardinals for me. I would put in that next group.
Very charitable of you. All right. The other category, a team with a win total of 10-plus has missed the playoffs every season since 2000. Which is that team? Ravens, 10.5.
I think I cheated a little bit here.
No. Bills, 10.5. No. Bengals, 10.5. No.
No.
Cowboys, 10.5.
I'm going
Cleve said yes.
I'm going no on the Cowboys. I think they still make it.
Lions, 10.5.
No.
Chiefs, 11.5.
No.
Eagles, 10.5.
No.
That's Niners, 11.5.
No.
It's either the Cowboys or the Eagles.
Yeah, if we're going there. I mean, I think this is where the numbers, like, okay, there's Dolphins and Jets. There's 10s out there on. I think my
I did not include them because I saw 9.5.
Yeah, my half-assed answer on this was the Dolphins.
That doesn't count for this exercise.
It doesn't count.
No.
I don't have
I think
answer.
It's either the Cowboys or the Eagles. I think the team that doesn't win that division. I know it's a bit of a cop-out because I didn't name one of them. But I think that's it.
If we're saying that, which, I mean, look, it's a small group we're picking from. Right.
I just think it's
Cowboys before Eagles for me.
We talked about guardrails with coaches of the year. I just think this is sort of the opposite of that, which is open your mind to the possibility
that
teams you feel are good or bad might not be as good or bad as you think headed into the season. JVT on the other side. Jonathan Von Tobel. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason kicks off in less than 1 month, and lucky for you, the VSiN experts have been hard at work this offseason putting together our new NFL betting guide. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to comprehensive team profiles with power ratings and win total predictions, proven betting systems, trends like how to win with our betting splits, plus top picks for season win totals, futures props, and awards like MVP and Rookie of the Year. To access this invaluable guide, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, we're offering an unbeatable deal. Get a full year of VSiN Pro for just $199 instead of the usual $240. And as a special bonus, we'll add an extra month for free. That's 13 months of access to everything VSiN offers, including daily best bets, round-the-clock video content, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides to keep you informed and winning throughout the year. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this fantastic offer. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code ANG.
A-N-G like a numbers game.
You get 13 months of VSiN Pro for only $199. Gain instant access to our NFL betting guide. Once again, VSIN.com/subscribe with promo code A-N-G. Ladies and gentlemen, he's not only our senior NBA analyst, he's also the co-host of VSiN Primetime, which he does with Tim Murray weeknights here at the network, and comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line with shorn hair. A haircut that is different than we're used to. Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. How you doing, JVT?
Yeah, I'm good. Look, I'm a big guy. I've shed some LBs, and I'm working on that, right? But it's hot, man. It's hot. And so the other day before I left on a vacation where I was going to go explore nature out there in the Central California, I was like, I got to get rid of this. So shaved the head. It's a style I used to rock. But I feel like with a big head like mine, I can pull it off. So, here I am.
Nicely done. And then maybe it sheds just enough weight in your little contest with Dustin. Maybe that helps as well. I don't know if you were thinking
this. Every advantage. Actually, I don't have a single hair on my body outside of my eyebrows and the ones on top of my head. So.
Okay, we didn't need that. We didn't need that.
Wait, what is that contest? What is it completed again?
NFL kickoff day. So what is that? Thursday, September, whatever that is.
Okay. Yeah.
Any sense of who's in the lead here? We're talking about weight percentage we're talking here.
Yeah. No, because so Dustin's on vacation for like 3 straight weeks.
Yep.
So I'm hoping that I can really kind of put a good dent into this over the next couple of days. Once I'm done with you, I'm throwing the sweatsuit on and going out for a nice walk in the heat. So I think I could take advantage of it in the next couple of weeks because I'll just say this. I hung out about 2-3 weeks ago. Kelly was there at a cabana out there at Stadium Swim. And I did not need to tempt Dustin that much with a giant plate of nachos. It was somewhat easy. So hopefully on vacation, the same thing's happening.
Dustin was like, ah, don't twist my arm.
I feel like I've been around those two like four times since this contest started. And it is nonstop. Like, hey, JVT, you should try this. This looks really good. Or vice versa.
Well, good luck. And then just remind everybody what the prize is here. Is there a prize?
I think there's $500 on the line. Something like that. Yeah, like between the two of us. Now, Dustin wants to do something where he wants to, like, we have to put it on an NFL future. I'm going to push back on that because I was like, I want to do whatever I want with the $500. Yeah, Why do I have to then subsequently do it whatever I want with it? So we'll see what happens.
You guys have been through enough. All right. It is Summer League time. And I know you love this. And I know you actually bet this. I'm not sure if you, like, go to the arena and actually, like, get in some live stuff going. But you definitely have some macro thoughts on this and a futures bet on it.
Yeah, and I'll say this. Look, I think anybody who knows this, and I told the story actually involving Kelly the other day on the air. You know, Gil, last year, Kelly and I were sitting at the Thomas and Mack Center, and we were watching Pistons and Raptors warm up, and he and I both thought, hey, you know, I don't see James Wiseman or Jaden Ivey or Jalen Durr and all these guys that were supposed to make this Pistons team great. And so I go down, and I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, these dudes aren't even on the floor. And so we went and bet the Raptors, and it was a sweat, but they ended up covering. But that's kind of the whole picture, right, with Summer League is information's key. If you can know when some of these bad players aren't going to play or some of the good players aren't going to play, then you're going to be in a pretty good position. So day to day, that's what you're kind of hoping for is roster moves, getting ahead of it, following beat writers and understanding who's going to play and who's not. But from the large sense, I think you're looking at the futures market for some certain characteristics in teams. You want really solid second year players. You know, the Utah Jazz, for example, have a roster that is littered with guys who have played really good minutes at the NBA level in the regular season. You're looking at guys on this roster, Gil, that have played Keontae George, Taylor Hendricks, Walker Kessler. We don't know how long they're going to play in the Summer League, but if you're going to give me those guys for two, three of the four games that they're going to play in Las Vegas, that's a team that's going to make some noise. That's why they're up there. So I think they're worth it. And the Memphis Grizzlies, for me, is one of those teams as well. And we actually saw these two teams play the other night. But again, a roster that is littered with dudes who played solid NBA minutes for them this past season. Led the way, Gigi Jackson is on this roster, who did a really good job for them. Jake LaRavia is on this roster. I think that when you look at teams that can have success in this setting, those are the guys that you want to look for. And I'll give a quick example. 2 years ago, Quentin Grimes was a second-year guy. He was heading into a second year, had played about 40 games, had averaged 17 minutes a game, dominated in the summer league, carried the Knicks to a title game. He played the Portland Trailblazers, where Trendon Watford was in the exact same scenario, actually helped the Portland Trailblazers get there. Cavaliers were the same situation last year. So those are the characteristics I'm looking for. And those two teams, Grizzlies and Jazz, are going to be on the list for me to bet the summer league when we get a vast majority of odds, because we're still waiting for a lot of places to hang futures on it.
I was just going to ask you, do we have any at all yet on this?
Yeah. So one spot, Caesars does have odds up. You can get the Grizzlies are at 18-1. The Jazz are the favorites at 5-1. And that's one shot. But I'm waiting because, look, evaluating these rosters is somewhat subjective. So I am going to see exactly what we're looking at and how other outlets really view these teams. Now, one out there has kind of set the market, so we'll see if they just kind of follow in tow. But I think at 5-1 for the Jazz, it's worth it at that price. So just sit back and wait. And if nothing else happens better or if nothing appears that's better, then to go there. And same thing with the Grizzlies about that 18-1 mark.
It is Summer League, Tour de France, Wimbledon, that kind of year. It is also an Olympics year. Soccer tournaments, I mentioned, is, of course, all the time. You wrote about the Olympics. What specifically did you write about, or did you write about it in general?
Yeah, so we have an Olympic betting guide coming out here next week. So that'll be part of it. I'll have a whole breakdown of the Olympics coming out here in the next week or so, because I don't know when the guide comes out. I just know that I have to submit my writing by Friday. But I will say this, that when you look at this, the format, it's pretty understandable why the U.S. is such a heavy favorite, right? One, the roster is great. But two, you know, they are pretty much, nothing is guaranteed. But you look at their group, Gil, where you're talking about Serbia, South Sudan, and Puerto Rico, two of those teams, South Sudan and Puerto Rico, 400-1 and 300-1 respectively. The top two teams make it out of group, and then third place teams makes it out, or the top two third place teams. So 8-0 move on to the next round. Team USA is all but guaranteed to move on to the set to the knockouts. After that, the way of the bracket falls, we don't know because there's a random draw. But this team is going to find itself in the quarterfinals. More than not, they're going to find themselves in the semifinals. So the path is there that it's understandable they're minus 500. But having said that, Canada and France for me are the two plays here to make at 11-1 and 14-1 respectively, and or better if you could find it. With Canada, the guard play is insane. When you look at what the Canadians bring to the table with their basketball roster, we kind of know it at this point right now if you've been paying attention, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jamal Murray, Lou Dort are among these guys. Nikhil Alexander-Walker is here as well. Their backcourt and wing play is going to be awesome. I think they have some questions up front, which is going to be a problem when you take on teams like France and the United States, but I think your guard play is so good that it's going to get you very far here in this setting. And then France, Gil, I don't know if you've seen this. You know who the French are playing? Victor Wembanyama and Rudy Gobert together. Like, they're on the floor together at the same time. They're running plays together. That's going to be such a nightmare. And you also have the home court advantage, right? You're the host nation that really helps you out. When I get those two, the format where I'm pretty certain those two are going to be moving on, I think that those two are very much worth taking 11 and 14 to 1. And we'll get a glimpse of that later tonight when the Team Canada plays Team USA in a little bit of a friendly and a tune-up over, I think it's a T-Mobile. But regardless, those are the two that are worth betting to me. Canada and France, I think those odds are very much worth it. And I'll ramble it, but the last note on this, Kevin Durant is dealing with a calf strain. He's not going to play tonight, and it's the summer of the calf, right? Giannis Antetokounmpo, all these guys who have been dealing with this, that's not the greatest for a Team USA that is trying to build this offensive continuity. They're going to be awesome on defense, but the way you play offense is going to be a question. To have a mid-range scorer like that can do it on his own is going to be really helpful, and if he's not going to be available, it's a big blow.
And Andrew Wiggins decided not to play for Canada?
Yes, him and Zach Edey, they were both on the training camp roster, but both were removed for different reasons.
Yep. But you still like them, though. Still, they're still stacked. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'd like Zach Edey there a little bit more, right? Like I said, like the center position isn't really great. UNLV's own Kem Birch is there, but he's a little long in the tooth. So I would like a little bit more there. So I think that's why they're using both Canada and France, I think, are worth it from an odds perspective, because their odds should be shorter.
Yeah. Again, how quickly will Wembanyama say to Gobert, I can't believe he won that Defensive Player of the Year award?
The minus 250 favorite to win Defensive Player
Bro,
of the Year.
Bro, you put it up. You put it up, and I was just immediately angry because I knew this was coming. We all knew it was coming. Okay, last thing in our last minute here. You did make one Major League Baseball bet season long.
Yeah, I'm just kind of turned off by the Mariners at this point, right? They had a massive lead in the American League West. That's now down to about two games. The Astros, as you well know, right, had a very good month of June to make their way back into this this race. Their pitching has really turned around when you look at the guys that are in that rotation. And I think when you look at the Mariners, are they going to make a trade? We're talking about 22nd away to runs created plus. That lineup has not been very good in many different offensive metrics. And I don't know if you can dip into the pitching with Wu's injury. So I think we get another scenario as last year, Gil, where they petered out the end. They missed out on the postseason by a game. I thought it was worth it about plus 150 to take a wager on that team to miss the playoffs. I'm not very confident what the Mariners are doing at this point right now.
Yeah, it feels like a pretty consensus opinion at this point, but good on you getting it at plus money with the Astros and the Rangers now. Rangers have won five in a row. They finally have woken up. That's their longest win streak of the year as well currently. Thank you, JVT. Appreciate it as always, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Jonathan Von Tobel at me, JVT, on the old Twitter machine. Doing Olympics for the Olympic guy. By the way, Olympic opening ceremony is, what is that, July 26th, I believe? Is it July 29th? So the guide should be out July 26th, by the way, opening ceremony. So guide should be out shortly before that. We're coming back. Will Hill with all his bets, and then Cy Young bets after that. Next.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. It is Bar Canada at the D. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten will join us with all his plays. Kelly will talk some golf with us. We don't sleep on golf. I know it's not the Open Championships yet, but the Scottish Open is in full effect, and Kelly's got some plays. You going hard on this one, or?
Yeah, you should go a little bit lighter on this.
Okay, all right. And then Deanna Cologne from the Jardians commercials will join us. Not the current Jardians commercials, the original Jardians classic. She'll join us coming up on the show. First, from Los Angeles, where he has been covering both Copa America and the Euros 2024 with Fox Sports, it is the Bear, Chris Felica, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, via Alexander Graham Bell's invention, the telephone. How you doing, Chris?
I'll let you know in about, let's see, 7 hours from now. We got some nice Spain-Netherlands finals name the finalists matches. We got a nice Netherlands to make the final ticket. So I'm fully anticipating being let down and disappointed a few hours from now.
Wait, repeat. What are your tickets that you still have? What are they?
I have a Netherlands Spain name the finalists ticket.
Oh wow!
And I have a Netherlands to make the final. So and then of course we have the Rodri to be outstanding player of the tournament ticket that we gave out on your show prior to the tournament. So that's in play too. So I'm fully prepared to be let down.
Of course. How much does it? What were the odds on the Netherlands Spain final?
It was. Let me write down. I want to get. It was 14-1 on DraftKings, and then I got a boost from DK, so I was able to boost it from 14-21.
Okay.
So it's a nice little ticket.
Okay, let's circle back also to your other play because I want to know what you're thinking about doing with it tonight. But first, last night or yesterday entirely. First with Copa. We'll start with the second one last night. Argentina just rolls Canada. I guess there was no surprise there. But as far as the Spain-France game, what a cracker of a first half. France goes up 1-0 with just really poor defense from Spain. They gave Mbappe a lot of room on the assist. And then Spain comes roaring back with not just one goal, but then a just absolutely beautiful second goal. That holds up the whole way. Were you happy to see that result?
Yes, I mean, I had under 2.5 in that match, and I had draw, but I was happy to lose those bets to ensure Spain getting through for the Rodri bet and for the potential matchup, and I think it's better for the final as well. You have the best team in the finals to play on Sunday afternoon. So even though I happened to lose the individual bets on that match, I was happy to get the better long-term future price and the player, the tournament ticket through there. So I was happy to see an exciting open match. I mean, we've been clamoring for it for so long because so many of the France matches had been dreadful to watch, but the early goal really opened it up. And Lamal is certainly a special young player.
France finally gets its open play goal, and with it, they lose for the first time. That's the irony of that. Okay, let's go to Rodri before we get your thoughts on today's games in both Euro and Copa. Rodri, you got it. What number and what are you thinking about doing with it?
28-1 is what we got him at. And I don't know because I'm not sold that it's a lock that he wins if Spain wins. I think there can be a really good case made for Dani Olmo, who right now is the Golden Boot leader with 3 goals and a couple of assists. He's certainly been fantastic. He had the second goal for Spain yesterday. And then, of course, there's Lamal, who has been the talk of the tournament. I don't know if ultimately they'll decide to give 16, just turned 17, he turned 17 on Saturday, if they'll give him both player of the tournament and outstanding player of the tournament overall. So I almost wonder if like there's this subliminal thing in me that says, okay, maybe you give Rodri player of the tournament, Dani Olmo wins the Golden Boot, and then Lamal wins outstanding young player of the tournament, and you make everybody happy. But Dani Olmo has been thrust into the lineup because of the injury to Pedri. So I think there is some concern that Olmo could wind up being a player of the tournament as well. So I'm going to wait and see what happens, who they play today and who they'll wind up playing and figure it out. But I would say it's probably better than 50% Rodri wins because he is the bigger name. But I don't think it's a lockdown that if they win, that he does get it.
Okay. And last question on this. I'm just curious, and I'm putting you on the spot, so forgive me for this. But, like, how often does an international tournament like Euros 2024 end up where 3 goals is the most that anybody scored the whole way through?
It's an extreme, and normally it takes 5, I would say.
Yeah.
Because you've got the three group stage games, and then but 4 knockout round games. So 5 is usually the number.
Yeah, 3 is super super low. Dani Olmo and Cody Gakpo, the only 2 that are currently still alive in the tournament. So let's start with the afternoon game, at least our time afternoon game, between the Netherlands and England, and obviously you have a lot riding on this. If you were just landing on this, Netherlands plus 220, draw plus 180, England, the short shot plus 165 on the three-way, how would you look at this?
I'm going to play just like I did yesterday. I'm going to play draw, and I'm going to play under 2.5. England has basically sucked the life out of every single matchup that's been in so far, and I don't think this is going to be any different. I think there's a lot of familiarity between the Dutch and England just because so many of the Dutch players play in the Prem, including Virgil van Dijk and Nathan Ake, who are on that Dutch back line, playing at Man City and Liverpool. They're familiar with the English lineup, so I think they know their tendencies. I think this is going to be a very tightly contested match. Unlike France, who has possessed the midfield and possessed the desire to go forward at times with great players, England has expressed no desire to go forward and attack. And that's kind of where the Dutch have been exposed. If you look at the Turkey match and the Austria match where they gave up some goals, it was wings going forward, being exciting. And England is not really built for that. So I am on under 2.5. I am on draw. And it's funny, we talked about the player of the tournament with Spain. I think there still might be a bet to be made if you want to bet someone on England, because I don't think it'll be Harry Kane. It shouldn't be Jude Bellingham. I think if you can find a good number still, I think he's around 16-1. There might be some outliers out there higher on Bukayo Saka to be player of the tournament, because no one really on England has stood out. But Saka, after being kind of moved around positionally in the last match, he scored a goal. He made his penalty. He was great in that match. And moving forward, for them to win today and for them to win Sunday, he's going to have to star. Remember the last Euro, he missed the penalty against Italy, subject of a lot of racial abuse. Took some heat, and I think if he were to bounce back and they wind up winning, and he had as a key reason why, there might be a school of thought to give him the award. So I think he can still be had at around 16-1 or so if you're looking to maybe look at someone on England to potentially win.
Interesting. I guess it begs the question, though, Chris, because we talk about it all the time, and we've talked about it on this show. Are voters for a Euro 2024 award any more nuanced than American voters are for our awards in all of our sports?
I don't know. Obviously, the tournament being every 4 years, I'm not certainly sure. There are even some thoughts out there that they actually kind of are influenced by a lot of other things. I mean, I posed that question about Spain and who would win outstanding player on Twitter yesterday, and a couple of people, including Nigel Seeley, reached out and said, don't be surprised if Dani Olmo were to get player of the tournament, because he's an Adidas player. You mean Lamal is an Adidas player and Rodri is a Nike player. And there's so much like intertwined with like corporate sponsors in this tournament. So that's something to think about too, which again is something that you'd never really think about in a U.S. in a World Series or a NCAA tournament or whatever kind of outstanding player.
Sure. Okay. Copa America, Argentina now waiting the winner of Colombia and Uruguay. That is tonight. Colombia is plus 205. The draw is plus 175. Uruguay is plus 180. Where are you going with this?
I don't love this match just because I see a variety of outcomes. And I know Paul did a really good job yesterday of just talking about how the physicality and the tightness of this match. And that's really what I think it's going to be. And I guess if I had to pick a side to advance, it would be Uruguay, because I think they are more built to play that type of match like we saw the other night against Brazil, where they really were physical. They really bullied Brazil on the ball and knocked them off the ball a good bit. And if they don't allow Luis Diaz and James Rodriguez room to run and distribute, that really takes Colombia out of its game. And I think that's the good thing about Uruguay, is that they're built to where they want to go 1-0, 0-0, going penalties. Okay, we have experienced penalty takers that we're confident in. They're going to call the match a little bit tighter and it's going to be a little looser and a little open. Okay, we can win. We can win a 2-1, 2-0, 3-1, 3-2 type of match as well. So that's the beauty about Uruguay. I think there are more avenues to win for Uruguay. So I do like Uruguay to advance would be the bet that I would make here.
All right, real quick, give us the winner of both, Euros and Copa.
Spain and Argentina.
Chalkity chalk chalk, but I get it. right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. At this point, it may as well. But the two teams that are there, they're in the final. They're waiting.
Chris, enjoy your remaining time in L.A. Sorry I'm missing you in Vegas next week.
Take care, guys.
Chris Felica, everybody, from Los Angeles, California. Just doing great stuff for Fox Sports. Imagine just good. He's like, yeah, I'll be in L.A. for 5-6 weeks covering both the soccer tournaments.
He's out there a while, man.
Then he comes here, probably entering some contests. Then he goes back there because our football, Fox is having their, preseason meetings and stuff.
Busy man. Football season's coming.
Just telling all his business. We'll come back. Deanna Cologne from Jardiance next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Bar Canada the day. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland. We get tweets of beating the book. Brandon Kyles ending the Cologne segment at the buzzer. Dr. Bob style. Great interview, Gil. Diana's energy and positivity is infectious. Is that because Bob never would he would ramble and then he would go too far? Is that what I think that's with Bob?
Yeah. So, yeah. That's absolutely what that's referring to.
We had one guest.
I like you're pretending like you don't think that's not a thing every time.
As I do remember that. We had one guest famously, and I won't give the name, early on, who didn't take the cue for the end.
Oh, yeah.
We ended the segment because we had to cut that person off. We went to commercial. The producer or the audio girl at the time, I think it was Anna Banana over there at Southport, yeah. He was still talking on the phone. I think I won't give the name.
We've had a couple legendary ones we laugh at too. We won't name names, but where we've gotten one question off and then we've run out of time. That's happened a couple times.
We keep records of that. That's right. Incognito better. The original State Farm commercials were great. Jake from State Farm was an actual employee, and they often use real State Farm agents in those commercials. I don't remember that. I just remember the there was not a person attached to Jake.
Was his first appearance the time where it's like the foam, like, what are you wearing? Remember that one? Because I always laughed at that. He's like, khakis?
No, that was when he didn't exist, right?
Okay, so that was before.
Those were the best State Farm commercials. She sounds hideous.
Right, yeah. That one.
Jesse Welch. Good luck following up that historic A&G segment. Yeah. Banshees of Atlantic City. The energy drop-off from Deanna to Jason is like following three cups of coffee with a couple of Valium. Ironically, I'm going to need some Jardians to hold off this blood sugar crash. And then Logic 3227 with a screenshot of a Seth Lugo 50-1 ticket that he's got on Sy. Good for you, Logic.
Like it.
Good for you, Logic, so, if I may call you that.
The one I just keep thinking about things of the interview with Deanna, too. The other thing she said in there that I was thinking about is, because I almost wanted to interject with the, one of the reasons we've talked about it is we've seen it so much, right? Why do we see it so much, though? Because we're part of that small sliver of the population that still watches as much live television
That's correct.
We're watching sports. So that's where we see all these commercials.
Because if you're watching, Murder, She Wrote,
right,
you're forwarding through the commercials.
And Deanna said she and her husband just stream. So, like, she didn't even see it nearly as much as the rest of us. So there is sports bettors. Like, we're going to watch a lot of sports, so therefore we're going to get a lot of the commercials.
The real headliner of that interview was the last thing we spoke about, which we're not allowed to speak about. But that question I asked her, which she, Wow. Scottish Open this week. Scottish Open. They're playing both sides. That's by Sean Connery. ratcheted back for this tournament. You don't go too crazy here.
I love this tournament, actually. Like, it's real. The Renaissance Club up in Scotland is where it's played at. That's right, Renaissance, not Renaissance. But, like, you get to sound a little bit more fancy this time of year when you say Renaissance. It's a great tournament. The course is kind of it's not a full links style. It's going to actually look very much like a normal PGA Tour Parkland course, except for you do get a few holes that are by the water, and you do get wind coming into play around the greens. Will look a little bit more links style. It's really become a great tournament, though, because there's a lot of financial backing behind it, like really, really rich dudes. when you can buy a spot of land off of a duke to build a golf course.
Off of a what?
A duke.
Uh-huh.
A duke, yeah. Yes. Hundreds of acres off a duke on water water lined property there. It's you've got some money. So
Rory is the short shot plus 750. Yeah. Xander plus 850. Just first name basis with all these guys. Ludwig 14-1. Colin 16-1. Victor 22-1.
Yeah, so you get a good field. A lot of these guys, right, are going over there. This is a warm-up before we go to the Open next week. This is the week. We have the old Barbasol, which is called the ISCO Championship now in Kentucky. And what they do with these two tournaments, this is not an elevated event, not a signature event like we've got on the PGA Tour now. It is a split PGA Tour and DP World Tour event. So half the field is going to be from the PGA Tour, half the field from the European Tour. You get that both in Scotland this week and over in Kentucky. So if you're handicapping either one of these, keep those in mind. Not as many stats that are widely available on the DP World Tour. That's why I'll usually dial back a bit here. Some of that, though, you kind of toss out the window because the PGA Tour players are still just better overall than the DP World Tour players, right? So you're going to end up betting those guys. After this event completely depends on what kind of wind we get as far as what kind of scores we've seen over the years. We've seen a couple years where the winds really blow and this becomes a difficult course to score on. If the winds are dialed back, where right now, as of right now, things can change in Scotland when it comes to weather pretty quickly. As of right now, it looks like it's going to be pretty calm through the weekend, Gil. So something to keep in mind. There is one guy you've heard me mention many times recently. Keith Mitchell is one of the best ball strikers. He's probably a top 10 ball striker on the tour right now.
Yes.
I took a flyer long shot outright on him, but he will be a first round leader bet for me as long as conditions look like they're calm. If it looks like it's going to be crazy, he is a guy that struggles to scramble, struggles around the green. Maybe you don't want to play him then, but it just kind of speaks to a little bit what you're dealing with at this course. This is a bomber's paradise, though. You get guys that are long off the tee, have done well here in the past. You're not penalized very much if you miss the fairway. And if around the green play can become important, if that wind is blowing, if conditions do get ugly out there. But otherwise, you're looking for bombers off the tee, strong on approach, and you're dealing with some big greens this week. So lag putting, three putt avoidance, that kind of stuff you're going to want to look at. Colin Morikawa was the first bet for me this week. 16-1, 18-1. I'm probably just betting him at this point until he wins, Gil. He's right up there. He's been on fire these past couple months. His worst finish since the Masters was T16 at Quail Hollow. So he has been on an absolute tear here since April. He's not a guy who's long off the tee, but he's great with his long iron, so he can make up for that distance a little bit. So bet him outright and then top 10. Other outrights, Tom Kim, Minwoo Lee, Keith Mitchell, and top 20 on Tom Kim, and then Morikawa and Aaron Ryan matchups for me.
Colin Morikawa, 27 years of age, 7 tour titles at this point, 1 PGA and one PGA and one Open Championship among them. PGA was over there at Harding Park there in San Francisco. Remember that well, his first one, where he was just chilling in the parking lot afterwards with his girlfriend, like,
yeah, man.
I did.
He's round into form. I have a feeling he'll be on my Open card next week as well. He's playing really well right now. Tom Kim, too, these last 2 years, he's finished, T6 and third in the last 2 years playing here, and he had that playoff finish against Scottie Scheffler a few weeks ago where he lost to him. So Tom Kim rounded into form a bit. And Minwoo Lee is one of those really interesting examples on the tour right now because he's not great on approach. He's kind of middle of the road on approach. And when we talk about these guys that are the guys we love to bet, love to handicap, they're usually elite iron players. He's not really there yet, Gil, still a younger guy. But he's great off the tee, great. I mean, he's a great putter, great around the green, kind of got the whole rest of the game. It's just kind of an oddity when it comes to guys that we like to bet.
He starts and finishes well.
Yeah.
There's nothing in between.
Right.
Interesting.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's the card for this week. Honestly, the matchups.
Do you think Davis Thompson is going to sort of have a letdown spot, if you will, to use our football terminology?
So my tournament matchups, right, wasn't playing on betting these. These are kind of principal matchups for me, okay? Tommy Fleetwood, he's been playing great, and he's going back to Europe, so he's getting a slight bump for that. Where I have Colin Morikawa and Tommy Fleetwood power rated at this point, though, it is a way bigger separation than -115 on Colin Morikawa. And then, yes, Aaron Ryan, Davis Thompson have both been playing great. Davis Thompson's 25 years old and just won, and now he's got to go all the way to Scotland to get ready for this tournament. Aaron Ryan's been playing some really good golf. I'll probably lay -115 on him to beat out Davis Thompson.
our July most wins bet in a holding pattern from yesterday because the Royals and the Cardinals were rained out. So they're playing a doubleheader today, which kind of stinks because doubleheaders usually end up in splits. So Royals and Cardinals have that doubleheader, day-night doubleheader today. We'll see how that goes. Right now, the leaders for the month of July are the Red Sox at 6-1 and the Rangers at 6-2. Royals are at 2-4, by the way. So that's not a good start. But remember, they got two against the Cardinals today, then three against the Red Sox. And that will be huge heading into the All-Star break, how they do here in these five games. Because after the break, then it gets super-duper easy. So if they can really perform here, then we will be in good position. If not, not so much.
Yeah, what was the number on, like, how many total games did they have this month? Do you remember that off the top of your head?
They started with 24, I want to say. No, 23. 18. So, no, 23, yeah. So they had 17 left, which is about how everybody else has left since they had the rain out yesterday. And this was the week where they were going to, the other teams were going to pick up ground in terms of total number of games anyway, because they were idle for 2 days scheduled anyway, Monday and Thursday. So we'll see how that goes. Taylor Fritz and Lorenzo Musetti in a second set tiebreaker. I really need Fritzy to win this one.
Let's go, Fritz.
To have that under in play. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next on the radio side, on the picture side. If you're watching, best bets, enjoy from VSiN, the sports betting network.